Welcome to the Island Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Dan Wyke, OC Register, Orange County Register, behind a paywall. How are you, Frank?
Behind the paywall. They let me out.
They did. They let you out. The dreaded paywall. A lot of newspapers have gone to it, and I feel like I'm no longer able to just freely check out your excellent Clippers coverage.
Well, that's the point.
I know. Well, I know.
Part of the point of it.
Here's the problem, though. I don't have any money.
Oh, yeah, that is a... You know, here, I will say this. This will be my one plug for our paywall. So yeah. The one thing that we do have that I think is kind of interesting is we have a 24-hour pass.
Oh.
It's sort of like, you know, you'd go to, like, your gas station and buy, you know, a newspaper maybe.
Yeah.
For $1.50. I think it's like $1.50, $2. You get 24-hour access. You get all the archives.
Oh, that's actually a really good idea.
Yeah, and that's kind of an interesting thing that we're doing.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the one loophole, especially if you're, you know, on days that sometimes if I have like a feature story or something like that, I'll push it a little bit harder on Twitter.
Yeah.
And that's what I would encourage people to do, especially for out-of-market people, you know? Pay for the day.
I'm actually pro paywall if they give that option. Because I think that's a good idea, because it gets the paper money, and at the same time, it is just like, hey, I'll buy a paper today. That's a really good idea.
It's weird. I was talking, because like, we're roughly the same age, right? How old are you?
I'm 31.
31. We are the same age.
Yeah.
So, you remember in college, this is like the first time I had ever had high-speed internet. I'd assume the same for Ethernet.
Yes, absolutely.
And Napster was huge.
Yes.
And I would download all sorts of horrible music. And if you follow me and the sometimes co-host of this podcast, Matt Moore, we were talking about it pre-draft. Some of the horrible 90s music that we listened to. And I would download the entire, say, like Stroke 9 CD or something just terrible. And because it was free, who cared?
Right. You know,
it didn't mean anything. Well, then once Napster goes away and you have to start paying for music, I was so appalled that they would ask you to pay for something I was so used to getting for free. I feel like that's kind of where we're at with newspapers right now. So hopefully, at a certain point in time, people will give in and just be like, you know what, it really shouldn't be free because it's kind of important.
But right. Who knows? I actually think
it's a lot like Stroke 9's debut album.
That's
basically what I'm trying to say.
And that's, you can't find a better way to sell a newspaper than to say it's a lot like a Stroke 9 CD, like one of the crappy Stroke 9 CDs.
Tonic. It's a lot like Tonic's debut album.
Sure, that's a great call. So your Clippers are kind of crazy.
They are.
There's some madness going on. Doc Rivers, that I really didn't think this was going to happen. I didn't think they were going to be able to trade for a coach because I thought that was illegal. I thought that was against the rules. Okay. So,
there was a little bit of a precedent for it.
Yeah, a little bit. So I that surprised me. But they did, the way they did it, I mean, it works. Like it is within the rules. Otherwise, they wouldn't have allowed it. But I was really surprised. I thought it was going to be like a Brian Shaw, Lionel Hollins kind of deal.
I thought it was going to be Brian Shaw, but sort of until Doc's name kind of came into the mix, that was sort of who I had kind of penciled in, I guess. But yeah, I mean, obviously the Clippers are going for the most expensive candidate. I mean, these aren't the Clippers we're talking about. This is what they do on a consistent basis. It was nuts. I mean, and the way it played out was such a hassle. You know, how public it was.
Right.
It was crazy. It would, you know, I mean, there was so much misinformation. Teams were using, you know, on both sides, you know, were using the media to negotiate. And, I mean, I guess, you know, as reporters, we let this happen. But when he has stuff, there was, you know, I think there was one quote I read somewhere that's like, it was, you know, a league source had said, this is when talks had broken down again for like the 10th time. A league source had said something like, I guess that's why they'll always be the Clippers. And this was a quote in a story about like, right? Like, and it was just like, you should just call them like chicken or something like that. Like, what are you, some sort of girl? You don't want to give up a 2014 first round pick? Like, that was like the tone that I read that quote, and it's like, okay, like, we all know that Boston had, I mean, we've seen it now, I mean, Boston kind of had this self-destruct button a while ago, so they were ready to pull the trigger on this. You look at Doc Rivers and what he was making and we all agree at this point, he's a pretty good coach, right?
Oh yeah, I would say he's better than Vinny Del Negro.
Yeah, sure. And we're talking elite level coach. At least that's how he's regarded in this league.
Yeah.
And you don't pay elite level coaches when you're trying to be bad,
right?
Or when you're trying to start over and build through the draft, which is what you know it looks like Boston's trying to do. So paying him $21 million made no sense. So Boston, in my mind, instantly Boston had no leverage in these discussions because, you know, the options, they couldn't fire him. He wasn't going to quit because that's a ton of money because he could always just stay until they fired him or they could get him out of his, you know, the not compete. So Boston never had leverage. Now, where it gets tricky is, so if somehow it gets out there that Chris Paul now really wants to play for Doc Rivers. You know, it's kind of his appetite. He's salivating at this chance. And if it doesn't work out, Chris is going to be disillusioned with the Clippers.
Right.
Now, like, in a one fell swoop, the Clippers lose all leverage, too. And so nobody had leverage. It was fascinating. I loved it. It was so weird to watch these two teams kind of operate publicly because it seemed like both teams kind of talked themselves out of the opportunity to make a pretty good deal.
I would definitely agree with that. And it was kind of reminded me of a like a 80s or 90s sitcom where there's a tug of war for some kind of competition, and like both sides really like one side pulls towards the middle and looks like they're almost going to win. The other side fights back, and then the rope like breaks in the middle. and they both go flying away. And that was kind of when it seemed like. I would say that point was when David Stern said, "Yeah, we're not going to allow this. Like, you can't trade players with coaches to like. There's a salary cap issue here. Like, we're just not going to allow that." And then they had the one more chance where they put the rope back together, and then the Clippers just won out. That's really what it felt like to me the entire time because I agree. Like, the Boston had zero leverage, and then the Clippers had zero leverage, and then it was just kind of like. Just a bunch of people standing around like, all right, now what do we do?
Yeah, I think, I mean, if this had fallen through and the Clippers were unable to get Doc Rivers, you know, before this whole process started, before Doc Rivers' name even surfaced, Chris Paul presumably was okay with the list of finalists that the Clippers had assembled.
Right.
You know, when they were talking to Brian Shaw, when they were talking to Lionel Hollins, to Byron Scott, he was okay with that group. So I never really understood kind of the need to do it just to save Chris. I mean, it was almost like they forgot that they, you know, they're paying Chris. They're going to pay him really, really well. They're going to give him more money than everybody else is going could. You know, they're going to give him a really good chance to win a title.
Right.
So, you have a lot already going for you. but that being said, I mean, if you feel like Doc pushes you over the edge, you have to do it. And I think that's kind of, you know, one of the things that I talked to, and this is weird when we talk about kind of the transformation of the Clippers. They would always say things, my understanding at least, is like, you know, we want the best for this organization. You know, we want to do the best. But then that was just always really hollow. Now when you kind of look at the moves they've made over the last 2-3 years, you know, they've kind of developed a little bit of a, you know, champagne taste, which is pretty remarkable.
It's weird. Like, it's weird because... You know, you and I have been watching basketball for a very long time. Like, the Clippers have just always been a joke. Like, they've had a couple years here and there where, you know, they made the playoffs or Sam Cassell was showing everybody how big his onions were or whatever. Like, they had a couple years here and there where they were exciting. And then, like, there was that, you know, when they had the whole Lamar Odom, Darius Miles, Quentin Richardson contingent where it was like... It looked
the headband
like
headband antennas.
Yes,
the headband antennas.
Right, the double fist, the double head pump. It was like, all right, now they're building something, and then it kind of hilariously fell apart. And like there have always been times where they're building up. So during this whole thing with Chris Paul, like I just kept waiting for them to screw this up to where he was going to leave, and yet now it seems like he's going to stay. It looks like. I mean, we'll find out more.
Everything I've heard, I would be absolutely floored, stunned, shocked if he didn't resign with the Clippers. Like, first of all, where else is he going to go?
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like, who looks like a better contender that can actually like pay to get him than the Clippers? Like, Atlanta's not better. Dallas or Houston aren't better. Like, this is a top 4 or 5 team in the conference with a legit chance to contend for a title if they, you know, with a couple of tweaks here and there.
And I mean, I think the other thing too is that, you know, the Clippers have done a really good job in terms of, you know, letting Chris have a voice.
Yes.
But also, I think they've done a really good job, and this doesn't get any credit, but they've done a good job anticipating too what Chris would want. I mean, that's one of those things where he gets bagged on for, like, oh, well, he's the reason why Vinny got fired. I mean, that's ridiculous. Like, I'll 100% say it.
Really?
As Chris said, yeah, I was told this. This is exactly what I was
told. Okay.
If Chris had gone in and said, hey, guys, I really think we should bring Vinny back next year, that there would have been people inside the organization, decision makers, who would have said at first, are you sure? Instead of saying, okay, we'll bring him back. So, I mean, this was an organizational thing. Now, did Chris step up to the plate and do that? I don't think so.
Right.
I mean, he didn't. So, you know, obviously he's going to catch the blame because that's what superstars, that's part of it. But I think a lot of this, though, too, was the organization kind of anticipating, you know, what Chris would want and trying to give him what he wants instead of Chris demanding what he wants. It's a fine line.
Yeah, but I guess there's kind of like plausible deniability. Like, he doesn't come in and say, hey, Vinny Del Negro's got to go. But maybe they're just like, hey, if we want to keep him, we should get a better coach. Like, that would ensure.
If Kobe loved playing for Mike Brown, would Mike Brown have gotten fired?
Oh, God, no. No, he'd still be there.
Yeah, I mean, like, if LeBron wanted to not play for Spo, if he wanted to play for, I don't know, any Bob Weiss.
Bob Weiss.
That could happen, right?
Sure.
I mean, like, they could work something out. So, it's a player's league. I mean, the coaches understand this. And I think Vinny will get another chance to coach in the NBA. I think he'll be in a situation similar to the one he was in Chicago and in L.A. when he got hired. And I think he'll do a pretty good job at bridging the gap. And maybe, you know, I mean, look, like, we're talking about Doc Rivers. This isn't a guy who exactly, you know, people thought was, you know, the second coming of James Naismith when he first started coaching.
Right.
Either. He got better.
He definitely got better.
He picked stuff up. Yeah, and I mean, I don't think there's any reason, you know, from everything I've seen that he couldn't get better. Sure. You know, he's a hard worker. So, who knows, maybe in 12 years, we'll be talking about some team sending first-round picks out for Vinny Del Negro.
Yeah, maybe the Knicks in 2020 will... we'll be like, wow, I can't believe they're... Write it down. Vinny Del Negro, coach of the year of the 2020 championship Knicks.
This is an inside joke, but I just got an email from RJ Bell in Vegas with the updated odds on Vinny Del Negro in the 2020. Yeah, so it's been crazy.
So that, I guess the crazy thing about the whole coaching search is, and you joke about this on Twitter, is like you couldn't do anything. Because you had to be ready for the announcement, and it looked like several times there were times where Byron Scott looked like he was the favorite. You know, Brian Shaw clearly was heavily interested, and they were interested in him and then Lionel Hollins. And just from a coverage standpoint of having to wait for, because the Clippers are a major team in one of the biggest markets. Like, it's weird that that's the truth, but they have become a major team because they have one of the 5 best players in the world, and they're in the second biggest market in the league. What is that like for you as a reporter trying to lock this thing down?
Well, it's stressful. It was weird. There were times when you thought it was close, where, you know, there was one time I was with my girlfriend and her mom in Long Beach, about 25 miles south of my house, and where I had to just like, hey, you guys having a barbecue? I'll come pick you back up at midnight. So I gotta go home because I think this is gonna happen now. And we're all of a sudden, you know, picks up steam and you're like, okay, it can't possibly go wrong at this point. And then something stops it. And you just kind of wait. The way the talks were, because it was so public, a lot of it was trying to sift through what I understood to be true and what I understood to be kind of possible.
Right.
Which in this one, it was brutally impossible.
I mean, there was so little truth, I think, that was out there. It was more just kind of like both sides kind of telling their side of the truth and using it to their advantage. And somewhere in the middle, I mean, I think I tweeted at one point that I look forward to Robert Mays winning the Royal this year with this deal and like 5 years from now. Like, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, somebody's going to oil his career. And it's going to be weird because you don't really know exactly, like, you know, like, there were all these little weird subplots, like, okay, apparently the Clippers knew all, and they could never trade for Kevin Garnett and Doc Rivers. And like, they knew that rule.
Right.
So the boss, they can talk about it anyway. Why?
You know, it's just like all of this, you know, I mean, and then at the same time, all of this is happening, you know, there's stuff about, you know, Dwight Howard, the Blake Griffin. Let's throw that out there, too. Like, that's what's out there now. So, you know, you've got all of your, essentially every player that you have under contract, except for Jamal Crawford.
Yeah.
Everybody else is on trade bid. You know, it looks, it's made to look like, in a lot of ways, that it's done to, it's all being done to placate Chris Paul. And it's just, I mean, it's chaos. You know, and the end result is I don't sound afraid anymore.
I think.
I'm afraid to close Twitter. to pull my phone down.
It really seems like we could use, like, some kind of Matrix Minority Report-esque, like, just plug you into, like, some kind of database where you can just track everything without actually having to check your computer or your phone, just so you can go on about your daily life.
Just give me, like, some, like, nutrient term of, like, Powerade and, what else, hot dogs?
Wow, those were your first two options, huh? Powerade and hot dogs?
Keeping it healthy right now. The stuffed peppers at Trader Joe's. That's probably the shake form of that. That'd be delicious.
Yeah, that in a milkshake would be great.
Yeah. So I mean, like, yeah, it's weird. It's you know, eventually I think at a certain point in time too, and this will happen to me, I think, as I become a more veteran reporter, you learn to walk away. There's definitely in this business there are the guys who break news.
Yeah.
We all know who they are. Yeah. There's a handful of them. And then they're the guys who try to interpret it the best they can. And, you know, as a beat writer, I think sometimes you fall in between the two. Like, yeah, I mean, you always want to be competitive. I would have loved to have had the scoop on Doc Rivers. You know, I would have loved to have, you know, I felt like I was pretty close. I was, like, near the top of the pack, but I wasn't first.
Right.
You know, and I would love to be the same when it comes to free agent stuff. But at the same time, too, I've always tried to position myself as somebody who understands why this is happening.
Yeah.
And you want to try to react best. You know, I mean, it's a different life. You know, I don't know. Like, how many hours of sleep a night do you think Woj gets in July?
Two? I don't honestly believe that he, like, I think he's one of those guys that, like, does that, like, power nap for 20 minutes, like, four times a day. And
Da Vinci
then,
sleep?
Yeah.
Da Vinci sleep.
Yeah, the Da Vinci sleep. I feel like that's the only way. There, like, there's no other. Like, that guy's breaking things at all hours.
Surviving only Powerade hot dogs that are just ground up
and to give him his protein and his electrolytes. And yeah, no, I mean, it's crazy. Like, that's definitely one part of the business, but it's almost a completely different job than, you know, what I do or what a lot of the other really good beat writers do. I mean, we all try to be competitive, but
right.
A lot of it's about priorities and stuff too.
So with Chris Paul's free agency, it does look like, and you said it, like, you'd be shocked if they don't re-sign him, and I would too. I mean, I think, like, especially with the Doc Rivers move, it is a 99.9% lock that it's over, and it's over quickly. But then what? Like, then what for the Clippers? They, you know, they're probably going to lose Matt Barnes. Their talks to trade Eric Bledsoe to maximize some kind of his value there. You know, they did just lose out on Andrea Bargnani, which is going to be tough. That's tough for the Clippers to swallow because you gotta grab that guy for $10 million a year whenever you can.
I know, if you get a chance to get a 3-point shooter who's not that great at making threes,
right?
You want to swing at that.
He's not very good, but he's expensive, so that's nice.
I like that, right? Yeah, good for him.
I guess, you know, I think Matt Barnes would be kind of priority 1A. Okay, that's not even, no, not 1A. He's, like, definitely, like, clear, like, they want to take care of Chris.
Yeah.
And after that, I think they would like to bring Matt back, obviously. But, it's, you know, it's weird. For a guy who's been pretty solid in the league, he hasn't made a ton of money.
No, not at all.
You know, I think he's only made, like, $12 million only. And, you know, so on a relative scale, I mean, that's virtually nothing compared to...
He's also...
Like you said, there have been much less productive players.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Darko alone in one contract. Yeah. But, yeah, that's the thing. He's been around for what, like 8, 9? Or he's 33. He's been around essentially like a decade and has made $12 million. Yeah. Like, that's not very good for an athlete.
Yeah. A lot of minimum deals. Like, you know, I think he got one contract, and then it's been minimum deals, basically.
Yeah.
Signed a minimum last year. The Clippers don't have his bird right, so they can't really offer him, like, a big deal.
Right.
You know, I'm no Larry Tune on the matter, but...
I think I think they can offer him 120%.
120%?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he only made like $830,000 last year.
Right.
So I mean, I think you can make a pretty solid argument that if you're a contender and you've got your mid level and you're looking for somebody, you know, that, to come off your bench or even start at the three and be a defender and make threes, you know. I think you could very easily justify throwing a good chunk of your mid level.
Oh, for sure.
Barnes direct. And, you know, that's going to be interesting how they address that, especially when, you know, we talk about trading Bledsoe. I think, you know, to do that and to get kind of the value back that would make sense, you probably have to pair Bledsoe with another player. So whether that's Caron Butler or DeAndre Jordan to bring that kind of the value you're looking for. But it sounds to me like from what I've heard, now maybe this could be just trying to you know, repair some of the hurt feelings, if there are any, from all the trade talk. But Doc Rivers has been pretty, times we've spoken to him so far, has been pretty adamant about how he's in no rush to trade anybody. That part of the reason he came to the Clippers was because he really liked the roster.
Yeah.
You know, he liked Eric Bledsoe. He likes DeAndre Jordan. I mean, I think he wants to coach those guys. So unless they can find something that makes them a lot better, I don't know that they're in a rush. I mean, Doc's got experience with you know, a Bledsoe-like player in Avery Bradley, and that worked out pretty well. I think, you know, could Bledsoe be an all-defensive, you know, second-team guy if he played consistent minutes? I think so. I'd be really excited to watch him kind of guard, you know, Dwayne Wade or Kobe or Steph Curry for extended runs. And I know from a Clippers standpoint, like, if you could move Chris Paul and kind of hide him a little bit, I think that would be good, just in terms of, you know, kind of preserving energy for the guy that you give the ball to a lot.
Right.
I mean, that's advantageous. But you worry a little bit about, at least I do, when you look at some of the good teams in the West. I don't know. Do you really want to go small against Golden State at this point? Small in your backcourt. Small in your backcourt.
Yeah, I mean, I get... It just depends, like... I thought Ethan Sherwood-Strauss put it perfectly when he was like, Stephen Curry treats Ty Lawson like a ball rack. Like, you have to find a way to combat them with size, because that's the only way to kind of mess up their shooters, or even if you can't, like, just to bother them in any way. Is like, if Steph Curry knows that he has a 6'1 guy on him, that guy's not affecting his shot. And if he knows his shot is not affected, that, you know, it's just lava. Like, that's all it is.
Yeah, I mean, if Golden State comes out this year, and their mean side is, you know, Bogut, Lee, Barnes, Thompson, and Curry, I don't think that's a particularly great matchup if you're going to go small.
Right.
Defensively, you know, I mean, you've got Chris Paul and Eric Bledsoe. I'm not sure either of them are over 6 feet tall. And you're going to, like, throw them out there against shooters. Now, that's one team. I mean, you know, Houston's guards are big.
Right.
You know, San Antonio's guards aren't small. Oklahoma City, Westbrook's big and strong.
Yeah.
You know, whoever else there, you know, whatever else they do, they've kind of established that. So I think it could work, and I'd be excited to see it. I think that's kind of where you fall into the idea where you start talking yourself into Aaron Apollo.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where you're like, okay, well, you know, he's a little bit of a bigger wing. You know, maybe that's where that kind of, you get a little more traditional that way. So, I don't know what, I don't really know what they're going to do with Blood. So, I mean, they've got a lot of options, that's for sure.
What about, is there repair to do with DeAndre Jordan in the sense that, you know, he's Blake's buddy, he's been jerked around at least minutes wise, you know, by the previous coach, and then he was in talks to be traded. Should there be a sense with him?
By the way, though, traded to a team that Vinny Del Negro was rumored to be a final.
That I was really hoping that would happen. Like, I was hoping Bledsoe and DeAndre would be a part of that trade, and then have Vinny go coach them. I just thought that would have been hilarious.
Yeah, DeAndre's mom's on Twitter. That would have been a good feed.
So is there repair to do with him?
I think a little bit. I think, you know, everybody wants to be wanted, yeah. You know, from a psychological standpoint. I mean, and, you know, it depends how guys, they've always said the right things about when their names have come up in trade talks before that, you know, it means somebody else wants you, you know, and there's truth in that. But it also means someone else is willing to kind of let you go, too. So I think that they need to kind of look at DeAndre Jordan, figure out if they think that he is an important piece to them winning a championship. I happen to believe he is,
yeah.
And I think he can be. I think he very easily could be. He's, you know, as athletic as any big guy in the league. Could be a devastating defender. I saw his offense take some steps last year. I don't know that he'll ever be a good three-throw shooter or anything, but... I think you need to sit down with him. You got to talk to him.
Does he even have to be a good free-throw shooter, though? He just can't be historically bad, right?
Yeah,
if he got to 55%, that's not good. Okay. But it's. I feel like it's decent.
I mean, that's a sizable leap, but at this point, he could get there. Sure. I mean, it's one of those things. I think, you know, a lot of his confidence and stuff. And he went through stretches last year where he was making his free throws, and then he'd go through a stretch where he couldn't make any free throws, and then he wouldn't play, and then he would only play a little bit, and then, you know, he'd play well, but then the fourth quarter would come, and, you know, people would freak out, and he wouldn't play again, and, I guess, you know, jerked around is one way to, I would say that there's some truth in that, and kind of his inconsistent minutes, but he's got to be consistent, too, with his effort when he's not getting the ball. Like, that's one thing, too. I mean, he still has to grow up a little bit as a player.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody sees it. I mean, like, he projects very Tyson Chandler-ish. I think it's kind of his ceiling, right?
Sure. Oh, yeah. I think that whether you think he can get there or not, I think that there are so many similarities between Tyson as a young player in the league and DeAndre that you know, that should be the goal, is to get him to that point.
And that's where it's tricky, is because, you know, I'm from Chicago, so I watch those Bulls teams. Loved watching those early Tyson Chandler, Eddie Curry Bulls teams. Those are a blast. But, you know, what you do is you go through, like, you know, what the Bulls did was they went through the growing pains with Tyson Chandler. And then, you know, they stopped, you know,
right.
And he left.
Right.
And they reaped no rewards for it. Now, I think that's why you have to be careful when you have somebody, especially in the modern day NBA, where we've seen how having an explosive rim protector can be a game changer defensively.
Sure.
You know, how willing you are to give up on that. There aren't a lot of those guys. And he's definitely special athletically. There's no question about that. And I think, you know, I think a guy like Doc can get through to him. I really do. It's going to be hard, though, to see how it's going to be interesting to see, just because we don't know. I mean, this is somebody who's played his entire basketball career in one system, a system where maybe he was too comfortable, or a system where maybe, you know, it wasn't geared towards his development. Now maybe they look at him and say, hey, we need to pay you a little more attention.
Yeah.
He could take a big step.
No, I agree. So if you had to guess, would you think that he or Eric Bledsoe are not on the team to start the year?
I would lean slightly towards both of them being on the team. Slightly.
Okay.
But if one of the two was going to get traded, I think it would be Bledsoe.
Yeah.
That would be kind of my feeling. And I think it would probably be for a big two or a three. That just kind of seems to be the direction that they, something that they need in their starting lineup, especially depending if they pair it with, you know, Karam's expiring deal, to kind of get, you know, good value back. And it's kind of interesting, you know, they do save a little money if they can package those two guys together and take a little bit back, little less back. There's an opportunity to save a little money there and try to stay out of the tax. And I think they'll look at all that stuff, but it seems to me like they're willing to go into it next season and, you know, use their mid-level, maybe on a guy like OJ Mayo.
Oh, please.
That's an option.
Please do that, because I wouldn't say bad relationship with OJ Mayo, because he has no idea who I am. I don't enjoy watching him play, and I know Flip Saunders is going after him hard this summer. Like, he is going after him hard. And, like, I think it's kind of like, oh, we'll let Andre Kirilenko go because we can get OJ Mayo, and I'm terrified.
Trying to think, like, so for me, OJ Mayo is sort of like egg whites, okay?
Okay.
Like, I like the idea of egg whites.
Yeah.
For sure.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, oh, they're healthier. It's really, I mean, it's still basically an egg. But, like, if they eat an egg white, you're like, okay, these aren't eggs. This is just, like, white gelatin. That's kind of, like, whatever.
Right.
You know, like, and I feel like, for me, like, I really like the idea of OJ Mayo. You know, as somebody who could be a little bit of a facilitator, has all the tools to be a pretty good defender, you know, can make shots. I don't know. I mean, he's an NBA player. There's no question. And it's something I'll be really curious to see, like, what he gets.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of how willing now. I mean, this is another guy that we haven't really seen. I mean, it depends how you feel about those Memphis teams and kind of how good they were. But he hasn't been on, like, a great team yet.
No, definitely not. But I just always feel like, and I know this is a dumb way to feel because plenty of guys break this mold. I just always feel like if we had seen it from him already, it would be, like, if it was there for him, we would have seen it already. And he just leaves me thinking, like, every time thinking, you're just chucking shots. Like, you should be a great, like, I don't know about great defender. You should be a good defender. You should be an incredible weapon on offense, but you're just kind of gunning for yourself. Like, it's not even like a fun Nick Young thing. Like, Nick Young's fun to watch do that. Like, OJ Mayo, you're just like, this is not, like, you say he's like egg whites. I say he's like Bacon-A's. I'm sure there are people out there that love Bacon-A's, but the majority of people are going to look at you and be like, "What is wrong with you? Do you have some kind of, problem?" That's how I view OJ Mayo, and it's not just because of the Mayo name in there. Like, it's a cool idea. Like, people love bacon, some people love mayonnaise. You flavor them up together, and maybe it'll work. But often, I feel like it doesn't.
Yeah, is that a Minnesota thing? I don't think I've ever seen that.
It's on the internet. I have it. I believe.
Okay.
Cause,
you're one of the Bacon-A's.
Yeah, because my aunt sends me anything bacon she can find for my birthday every year. Which there have been some good things with that, and there have been some really awful things with that.
Either she really loves you, or she wants you to die of heart.
Yeah, it's possible she wants me to die. She is a nurse. Like, she knows what she's doing. Ooh. And this could be a very precarious
happy
situation.
Happy birthday, Zach! Here's 5 pounds of bacon and a carton of smokes. Go celebrate.
Happy birthday! I got you this revolver with one chamber. Here, play Russian roulette.
And a copy of The Deer Hunter. Enjoy. Have a great night. Now, so OJ Mayo will get around the mid-level, right? Somebody will give it to him.
I actually think the Timberwolves would go over that.
Okay.
If he gets the mid-level, I think that's fine. I wouldn't want to give him the mid-level over 3 years. Like, if he got a 4-year mid-level, I think it's a terrible contract. I would rather have him on 2-year deals. But 3, I think you can live with.
I mean, is he better than Courtney Lee? Right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, he, I mean, yeah, he's definitely more talented than Courtney Lee. I don't know. Yeah, Courtney Lee was so bad last year.
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess for me, what the question is can a player who definitely, I mean, this is somebody who's been told how great he's been since he was 17 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Can that kind of player at a certain point in time step into a role and become a really good role player? Or is that something that has to happen earlier in your career? You know, I'm not sure. I think that's it's a fascinating question. You know, I mean, usually that happens to guys much later in their career. I mean, he's still a pretty young player.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I guess he could have a Chauncey Billups-like awakening at some point, you know? And actually, maybe that would be, I mean, bringing him to it, like if Chauncey's still around next year, bringing him in. That could be an excellent move to kind of like get someone, like I'm not saying he hasn't had mentors before, but that would be a great guy to mentor him.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, and it's on a team with Blake Griffin and with Chris Paul, if he's the show too, with Jamal Crawford coming off the bench too at times.
Yeah.
You know, is there really an opportunity for him to like just go get his? Like, you know, I mean, will he even have the ball that much?
Right. No, he shouldn't. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. You know, can they sell the idea to, hey, you know, Jrue Doss is really fun and taking a lot of shots, taking really good ones. Is also in making them. It's also really fun. And when you have a really good big and you have a really good point guard, you're going to get a lot of really good looks. I mean, this is, you know, this is, say everything horrible you want about Vinny Del Negro's system. It did produce a lot of open threes for Caron Butler, Willie Green, Nick Young before that, Randy Foy. I mean, those guys got looks.
Yeah.
Really good ones.
That's the thing. If you replace Willie Green, his role in the offense, with O.J. Mayo and his talent, and you can get that to kind of like have this symbiotic relationship where it works, like that would be an incredible upgrade. That's deadly.
Yeah. But then, you know, you wonder, though, like, you know, Willie Green is also, he was very good at that role last year, too.
Yeah.
Very underratedly good at that role last year. He handled that, I thought, like, really well at times. And, you know, he's a guy who understands that, you know, I'll play at the start of the first quarter. I might come in at the end of the second. I might not. You know, I'll play at the start of the second half, and then, you know, I'll give away to Jamal.
Right.
Like, you know, I don't know. This is, I told everybody this. This is the most important offseason in Clipper history. There's so much to do, you know.
And I don't even think it's because of the Chris Paul free agency. Like, I think even assuming he's going to re-sign, it's still the most important.
Yeah, I mean, like, because they were in a position last year in the playoffs, and I think they would admit this at this point, that once Russell Westbrook got hurt, they could see a path to the finals.
Yes.
Like, it was there, you know what I mean? You know, they were up 2-1 on Memphis when it happened, I believe. You know, hey, we hadn't really played great yet. They had kind of had that mentality. You know, we won twice, we still don't really hit our stride. And then, you know, you lose game four, Blake is hurt in practice, and all of a sudden, you know, now your season's over. And instead of going to the finals, you look around and you say, what just happened? What went wrong? I think there's kind of an initial reaction to, we got to change everything. You know, but I think if you structure some stuff, like if you look at the impact Lamar Odom had, and all of a sudden instead of that being $8 million a year Lamar Odom, and now it's $1.2 million a year Lamar Odom, okay.
Yeah.
You know, like that makes sense. You know, depending on if you re-sign Chauncey and kind of what his role is. You know what I mean? If his role is to be, you know, the backup point guard, if he's willing to do that, then okay. He's really solid veteran. He doesn't turn the ball over. You know, and he can make open jumpers, playing alongside Jamal Crawford. Like, you could do some interesting things there. Like, you don't have to take these big, wild swings, I don't think, necessarily. And it's going to be – but that being said, they're going to be really aggressive, too. They've talked about it. Their plan here, Zach, is to add a third superstar.
Yeah.
Like, that's been their plan for, I think, as soon as the Chris Paul deal happened. And I don't know who that is. I don't know if that's Dan Granger.
or his ACLs or his knees. Or, I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know if that's some sort of really crazy way to get Andre Iguodala.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Oh, that'd be killer.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. They're looking. I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge, that's like a big rumor. You know, obviously, Neil O'Shea loves Eric Bledsoe and loves DeAndre Jordan.
Right.
Dressed both of them, traded up to get Bledsoe. So, I think that's what, I mean, you'll keep seeing the Clippers win to big names, and conversely, you'll keep seeing me on Twitter learning about not being able to go anywhere because of it.
Before I do actually let you go, you had a fantastic podcast idea for us.
Yes.
Would you like to pitch this to the millions of people listening on their iPods right now?
Okay, so a lot of you follow Zach on Twitter. Not as many follow me, and that's on you. But Zach will often talk about really stupid things on Twitter that are just kind of like flashing in front of him,
yeah.
You know, that are limited his work. Like, you know, I think that this has probably happened where Zach has had some really good blog idea, got to write it, it's like 10 o'clock on a Tuesday night, and Dirty Dancing with Anna Nice comes on, and all of a sudden, he's thrall with the Cuban flavor. And who could blame him? I mean, there's so much heat in those scenes.
Oh, there's so much heat in those scenes.
So the idea would be, Zach and I are professional. That's it. We're professional time wasters, procrastinators.
Oh, we could write books, but we procrastinated too much to do it.
Precisely. Like, this is a skill that has been honed over, you know, 10, 12 years of nights playing, you know, unnecessary games of Mario Party.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, maybe I should start an NBA 2K season right now. It's like, you know, maybe you should.
Like, yeah, it's like you get this idea of like, oh, this would be a really good article, but I haven't started an association with the Utah Jazz yet. I really would like to do that.
Like, what would happen if you really made Alec Burks the centerpiece? And then you start, just like, you fall into these wormholes. So basically what I'm proposing, and I think I pitched this during the NBA Finals, so Tech was quote-unquote working.
Yes.
That... Well, let us waste our time for you, and we'll tell you about it. And it'll be whether, you know, maybe Showgirls is on tonight.
Oh, Showgirls is always on. So this is very apropos.
Yeah. So, okay, whenever you see it on, do you feel the urge to watch it?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
source of it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, this is going to sound strange. Like, this is a little bit of a freebie for me. So do you prefer the unedited Cinemax Everything's Out There version, or have you ever seen it on VH1?
No, having it on regular cable and not a movie channel is unbelievable. It's unreal.
Yes. It is like watching Casino, another movie that is awesome.
Yes.
Because they take the MF-er and they turn it into Money Lover. Or another, like, this is like, I love like the editing of Curse Words. Coming to America, Samuel Jackson, breakout scene. And instead of saying all sorts of horrible things, I think it's Up Yours, Airhead.
Yes.
This is the TV. It might not even be Up Yours. That might even be a little too risque.
It's probably like Walk Away or something like that.
Yeah. Walk Away, Airhead. So the reason I asked about Showgirls, so when it's on VH1, there's so much nudity in that movie. It's impossible to air on. So what they did was they gave somebody like MS Paint and let them draw bikinis on all the dancers. And they are horrible. It's fascinating. It's like something I did when my parents first got, you know, their Gateway computer.
Yeah.
In like 1997. Like, I can make my own Christmas cards. And then, you know, MS Paint, and I'm spray painting, and it's horrible. And, you know, it's like, I did better work finger painting when I was like six. And that's what this MS Paint thing looks like. And it adds a whole nother layer of ridiculousness
to a movie that is already makes you need to shower afterwards because of how ridiculous it is. I don't know, like, so what's been a movie for you recently that's caught your eye on TV?
I've been watching Moneyball a lot.
Okay.
Like I that's been on a lot lately on one of the movie channels, and I've just like dug in every time. Mainly because I'm fascinated to see how much Brad Pitt eats in his movies now. He's just always snacking. So like that's kind of a thing that I have to watch.
Okay. That's a really good one. I've been watching a lot of Speed.
Ooh, yeah, that's a great one.
Which is an awesome movie. And terrific acting. Mostly by Keanu Reeves, who I don't think moves his face the entire movie.
It's like he got Botox before everybody else.
Yeah. So good in it. He's like so rigid. And my other favorite part about that whole movie is, so you have Dennis Hopper, who's like a lunatic. The really annoying guy on the bus is Cameron Frye, which is also awesome. But the other action style count at the beginning is Jeff Daniels.
Right.
Which is really, really odd casting. For me. Like, if I was going to be chased by a police officer, I think I'd prefer for it to be Jeff Daniels. It's just kind of my feelings.
Yeah, I mean, it would probably be John Goodman 1, Jeff Daniels 2 for me.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point. The dude who played the Ziggy in the Notorious movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. There is a bigger list here.
Yeah.
But yeah, now, it's just, I mean, it's one of those things where having all these movie channels definitely made my life worse. But at the same time, it is so much more rewarding.
Yeah.
And then, like, that's basically the idea. It's pretty cool.
I don't know. Wait, I don't think you said any. I think we just started talking about movies. I don't think you actually said what the podcast is.
That's the idea, is that, so we'll take, okay, so here. So we'll take, say, Speed, for instance.
Yeah.
Okay? And I'll text Zach and say, hey, Speed is on 3 times tomorrow on Cinemax Action. Okay?
Okay.
And we will watch it.
Yes.
And we will, and while watching it, at least maybe we'll pick out a 35, 40 minute slice of it. And we will essentially verbally live tweet the 45 seconds and tell you what's happening, tell you why it's awesome, tell you why Keanu should have been at least nominated for an Oscar for that.
Oh, no, not even. No, that's just a give it to him. There's no, I mean, like, he should have been at least nominated. Like, he should have had the Oscar.
Dennis Hopper, you know, like the big twist featuring the University of Arizona sweatshirt. I mean, there's so many just terrific things that really need to be delved into.
Right.
I feel like, you know, maybe it would make your lives a little better if you didn't have to watch it. I'm positive, actually, it would make your life better if instead of watching it, you just spent 30 minutes listening to people talk about it. I think you'd feel just as fulfilled.
No, I think this is a great idea. One, because it gives me an excuse to watch movies. Now I wouldn't be procrastinating anymore. I would just be working. Like,
yes.
my lady friend couldn't be like, you couldn't have gone to Target today. I'd be like, hey, I was working, watching movies. This is what I do.
At work today.
Now, how do we get?
Here's another one. Have you caught Pitch Perfect yet on HBO?
No, I've avoided it so far. I'm a little. I don't like movies with singing.
Okay. Neither do I. Pitch Perfect is really good.
Okay. Like, actually good, or like good to tweet about?
Both.
Oh, okay.
I think it's actually good. I will say actually good. Anna Kendrick's adorable.
See, I don't like her at all.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like. She creeps me out. She's too small. She's too small of a person. that it makes me uncomfortable, and and I find her to be very she talks like she's holding her breath.
Okay.
And that I and that happens to me every once in a while when I'm doing a radio interview I don't know why, but yeah. I'll kind of get into that mode, and I hate that I do it. I would say like one out of one.
Like Anna Kendrick.
Yeah, I feel like I feel like they're just interviewing Anna Kendrick about the NBA, which might be more entertaining. Maybe I should just be her character from. Oh God, what was the not up?
Yeah.
Not up. Up is she's not in Up, but yeah, Up in the Air.
No.
Maybe I should just be her character from Up in the Air when her boyfriend has broken up with her.
Yes. I think that's a terrific idea.
That's the thing. We should just talk about that scene on the podcast. Okay.
Oh, totally. Here's two things you need to know about Pitch Perfect that are awesome. All
right.
That aren't, like, actually awesome, but make it a fun movie.
Okay.
One, so she, like, likes to do, like, mashups. Okay?
All right.
This is a movie that came out in 2012. Like, 5 years after, like, the last time I heard, like, any real good mashup.
Right.
You know, like, I thought that had kind of come and went.
Yeah.
But now, like, finally somebody decided, like, we're going to use mashups. And, in a way, it's done fairly successfully. You forget that at some point that nobody would walk in and just be like, seriously, you're doing another mashup? Like, here's the Grey album. Okay, it's been done. Go to class, Anna Kendrick. And then the second part is there's a scene, I think it's a PG-13 movie, but where she is in the shower,
okay?
And she starts singing a David Guetta song, okay?
All right.
Now, I wasn't 100% sure exactly what a David Guetta was before I saw this movie. So she's singing the song, and somebody, like one of the other girls on like her team or whatever, her voice team, choir team, I guess they're called, she opens the shower, walks in, Anna Kendrick's all uncomfortable, and the other girl's like, oh my god, you like David Guetta too? Like obviously, like, you can sing David Guetta. Everybody sings David Guetta. And I had no idea what was going on. But anyway, yeah, the movie's awesome. 3.5 stars for me.
3.5 stars, wow. All right, I will definitely check the movie. I do
out
think...
of six. Out of 6 stars, a weird scale I'm operating on, but still 3.5.
I will check it out eventually because I do. The only movies that I've that people seem to love and love talking about that I've really avoided, 100% are the Harry Potter movies. And even then, I decided to tweet a random one. Like I've never read the books. I've never watched the movies, but I just picked like the third or fourth one because it was on one day and just tried to figure it out as I go through live tweet. Oh. And that seemed to go over it went over really well with the 11 people that don't hate following me.
Yeah, I was going to say, we could just do an entire podcast about the rules of, what is that game, Quidditch?
In that movie? No, it wasn't in that movie. And the only reason I know I don't really know what Quidditch is, but I get the reference is because of the movie Role Models.
Yes.
Because there's joke about it.
Quidditch is like a fever dream. Like, that is weird. I do not get it. And I've been here. I haven't, by no means do I. I've seen the Harry Potter films. I have not necessarily enjoyed all said Harry Potter films.
Yeah.
I do like Alan Rickman, and I do like one of my favorite comedians, Doug Benson, always is saying when he talks about movies where it's always fun to say things like Mr. Potter. He always says that. But other than that, yeah, it's okay. I think we're off the rails.
Oh, 100% off the rails. I like that it got to Quidditch before you realized that we're off the rails.
Alan Rickman. Yeah, so that's the idea.
Okay. Yeah, I think, I don't know how, after that pitch, I don't know how people couldn't be sold on this.
Shark Tank. Let's go to Shark Tank.
Let's go to Shark Tank. I think this is a great idea. good God. Like, did you go to college for, like, advertising? And like marketing sales meetings, because that was amazing.
I did watch the season finale of Mad Men like 2 days ago.
Okay.
Which probably explains why I like Rico Blitzkin now. But it was, no, I didn't. I've always, though, I'm always looking for reasons to branch out.
Yeah.
I always thought that would be something, because I generally feel like most of what you do, and I mean this as a total compliment.
Oh, this should be good. This should be good.
Is done solely to amuse yourself, right?
That's 100% accurate.
And I don't think that's a bad thing, but I feel like that's kind of you know, this would be very amusing.
I need to tell this story because, one, my lady friend is standing in the kitchen, and so she can hear me tell the story. But this happened yesterday, okay. And this works imperfectly because I do try to amuse myself all the time, and now she's, I think, just nicely laughing at me. But we were in the grocery store, and we were buying groceries, and we're at the self-checkout, and there are two things left in the basket. There are eggs, and there are chicken drumsticks, because she's actually, if you've heard crackling in the background, she's been frying chicken during this podcast. Okay. And so there's chicken drumsticks, and there's eggs. And I'm, like, handing stuff to her to put into the bag. She's bagging it. And I say, what should come first? And she says, oh, the chicken. And I said, really? Not the eggs? And, like, cracked my, like, it was one of the greatest things I've ever done. It was a truly momentous occasion, and she would, like, she refused to laugh at it. Which
roll your eyes.
Yeah, she just, like, stared at me, like almost thinking, like I think she was trying to figure out how quickly she could unpack. Like she could move into a new place and unpack her stuff, like, by the end of the weekend. Like, I really feel like that was the look that she was giving me.
36 hours, answer to that. And
36 hours.
No, like, that's a tremendous, like, I feel like I would have reacted similarly. I think I would have been like, she would have been like, it's solved. And then looked at me like I'm crazy.
I think that she was just mad that she didn't think of it first.
Probably.
But that was, like, that was a great moment. But that was also a moment where I was, like, as I saw the items coming out of the basket, and those were the two left, like, it popped in my head that I was going to do this. And I knew that I was going to amuse myself. And so that, it was really, like, whenever I'm tweeting about something, it's strictly to, like, I find myself funny. I understand why many don't, but I, like, yeah. I'm just trying to make myself laugh to get through the day. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, I know. And I think I feel very similarly.
Oh, you're brilliant at that. You're very good at amusing yourself.
Yeah. I tend to get myself giggling, so that's awesome. I mean, I think the only thing that could have gone wrong is what I'm imagining is, so you had, like, the chicken drumsticks, they're the eggs,
yeah,
and then made, like, some baconades in there too, and you're just pranked that, you know, that she doesn't reach in for, you know, the eggs before, and then you can go, what came first, the baconades or the chicken? Right. Oh, man.
So close.
start kicking stuff.
I'm just like, no, put everything back in the basket. We got to do this again.
Got to go over. Yeah, 100%.
Oh, I think we could stop there, right?
Yeah, that seems like a good spot.
I think we haven't talked about basketball in about 25 minutes.
Awesome.
Well, Dan Wyke, Orange County Register, pay for that paywall. I'm in. You do the day pass. You sold me on that.
Yeah. Yeah, if you do it, find me on Twitter, and I'll tell you, I'll hit you with some good links to some features from during the season that I feel like nobody read.
Definitely. Yeah. There, we can follow you on Twitter at DANWOIKE Sports.
Yes.
Yes.
That is it.
And
for the time being, I'm thinking about shortening it, but right now there's still the sports.
And I mean, my favorite part of you on Twitter is that in your profile it says my entrance music is Ignition Remix, which is perfect.
I keep waiting for the day when I do a radio hit that somebody takes my advice.
It's my lady friend's mom's favorite song, which is awesome. Which is why I'm really excited to be a part of this family someday.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. All right.
Good for you.
Dan Wyke.
All right, man.
Thank you so much, bud.
All right.